We want to look today again at this thought: to be blessed in all we do, we must submit to God's delegated authority. I want to continue where I left off last week. I had more scriptures than I had time, so I had to divide it up. But God delegates to his leaders the authority and power they need to do the job. And you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me. If you're in any kind of leadership or ever plan to be, you need to know this. This is not just a word from God so you'll submit to authority. It may be a word from God so you will accept authority. And a lot of people are afraid to take any kind of authority. Sometimes it's almost impossible to get someone to step out and lead a victory group. That's a position of authority. It's authority to help other people. Just like being a pastor, there's an authority there, but it's an authority to help people, not to rule over people. And sometimes we just have the faith in the Lord to step out and accept positions that we may not want. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not called to any kind of ministry, but do you have a job where you supervise people? Do you have a company that you own and run where people work for you? Then you have delegated authority to run that place. And I think it helps build our faith when we realize that we're not doing this by ourselves. God has delegated the authority we need to get it done. And it even calls people to recognize that authority on you. So God delegates to his leaders the authority and power they need to do the job. And when they abuse it, when anyone in authority abuses that authority, we must trust God to deal with them. Remember Moses? In the Word of God, and probably in all of history, he's the greatest man of God who ever lived. And yet, he messed up. That puts the fear of God in me. Somebody like that could mess up. And so we need to take our responsibility with a measure of fear and caution, to believe that God's going to help us to not mess up. But God told Moses to speak to this rock. We saw that last week. And the people were in the wilderness. They didn't have any water, but they had a rock. God would use anything available. And he told Moses, he said, speak to that rock, and I'll bring water out that people can see a miracle. Well, Moses got angry with the people and hit the rock twice. Water did come out. They had water, and the livestock had water. But Moses was in trouble. God says, because you didn't honor me before the people and do what I asked you to do, the way I asked you to do it, you are not going to lead the people into the promised land. Wow. You know he had to be looking forward to that. God says, you're not going in. We know he finally made it because on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses came down to minister to Jesus. Yay. And so he made it to heaven, and he got to come down to minister to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And being a great authority, was, God still held him accountable for abusing that authority. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 3, he, King Saul, came to the sheep pen along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself, to take a nap. David and his men were in the back of the cave. Of course, Saul did not know that. God literally delivered David's enemy to him. Saul lay at his feet asleep. And his guards got sleepy, and they all went to sleep too. Is our security team awake? Where are they? Okay. They've gone to Starbucks for a coffee break. I'm kidding. Okay, I hope. there's Shane back. Anyway, God was showing David that he could deal with his enemy. There he lays right there. Except David knew that Saul was God's delegated authority, and he wouldn't touch him. Verse 4, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with him as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Didn't harm him at all, just cut a little piece of his robe off so Saul would know that he was that close to death and know that David did not want to harm him, or he could have. It really, I think, was a message to Saul. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He felt guilty just for doing that. David felt guilty in verse 6. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." He said, God has anointed this man to be king. God anointed him to be king, and I'm going to let God take him out. Amen. I respect God's anointed is what he's saying. And guess what? David was scheduled to be king. And if people are going to submit to his authority, they need to submit to other authority too. And then David needs to submit to his authority. You know, and as a pastor, I was associate pastor for 9 years. I learned how to take orders. Can you say amen? And that pastor would have some of the dumbest ideas I ever heard in my life. And if I couldn't convince him he was wrong, I'd go ahead and do it. And guess what? Every time they worked. So his ideas weren't so dumb after all. So I learned to submit to authority. He says, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord, until God removes him hands off." Many Christians today have no problem lifting their hand against authority. And I'm horrified sometimes to hear some of the horrible things they say about people in authority, even political authority. Listen, the Bible says God raises up one, takes one down, raises up another. And let's just trust God, you know, and praise God that we live in America and we have some control over our political characters. And if we'll believe God, God will help us and God will help them. It's time to stop some of the foolishness and really trust God and believe God and respect God's authority. It's not their authority anyway. It comes from God. I have no authority. It's God. You see, David said, "I will not do it. I will leave him to God." Saul soon was killed in battle, and David was innocent. If he had killed him, he would have been known as an assassin. He became king because he can't kill the king. That would change the story completely. Somebody say something. That would have changed the story completely. John 19, verse 10. In other words, sometimes we need to let God take care of the people that don't like us, you know, and want to harm us. John 19, 10. Pilate therefore said to Jesus. Now we're about 1,500 years into the future when Jesus came on the scene. Pilate therefore said to him, "Jesus, you do not speak to me." You see, he was asking him all these questions, and Jesus totally ignored him. Why? Because he wasn't going to plead innocent, because he was taking our sins on him. So what really could he say? Pilate therefore said to him, to Jesus, "You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" You see, Pilate had delegated authority to do just that, to release him or to crucify him, but Jesus was not making a plea for himself. He couldn't, because he was about to be guilty by taking all of our sins on him. He was about to become worthy of death because of our wickedness. So he wouldn't present an argument. But Pilate was right. He did have authority. 11, Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Even the authority to crucify Jesus Christ came from Father God." That's what Jesus said. I call him the boss. He should be the boss. Lord means boss. We call him Lord, that means we're going to do what he says. Don't call him Lord and then refuse to do what he says. Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin." Jesus recognized that Pilate was God's delegated authority, and he submitted to that authority, even though it meant his life, but it meant our salvation. This is why David submitted to King Saul, God's authority, and God took care of it, David didn't have to get his hands dirty. And you may have a boss or somewhere at work, you just like to punch him in the nose. My daddy did that once. Came home, said, I got fired. What'd you get fired for? He said, I hit my boss. That doesn't normally work out very well. Okay. He was a high-tempered spitfire. Boss got on him a little too hard. He hit him, knocked him flat on the floor, and they fired him. That is not the will of God. Leave that rascal up to God. God take care of him. Ask John Uchai. Is he here? What does God do to bosses that mistreat you, John? Fire them. Okay. That's happened, I think, at least three times. He came to me, was it 2 weeks ago, and he said a thing about moving the company out of the country to India. I believe, is that right, John? He said, pray that I get to stay here. And they moved everybody but him and one other person. He gets to stay here. We have you know we need John. He's a man of God. He's a great intercessor. Prays for me and you all the time. You see, Pilate was guilty, however, because he abused his authority by condemning an innocent man to death. You say, well, that was prophecy. It was prophecy, but you're still responsible for what you do. His own wife, Pilate's own wife, pleaded with him, this innocent man, don't do anything with this man. And he had him crucified anyway. That's an abuse of authority when you allow an innocent person to be executed. Amen. Acts chapter 23, verse 5, Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. Now, I'm not reading the whole story on each of these things because I wouldn't have time to get it done, but I want you to see this as that one verse stacks upon another. And so Paul, he's dealing with this evil priest, and he smarted off at him. And he says, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. He said, even though he's been mean as a devil, I was wrong to attack him back because he is God's delegated authority. Now, I'm just reading this. You might say, well, I have a problem with it. If you really trust God to deal with his delegated authority, then you won't have a problem with it because God will deal with them. See, this was an evil priest, but Paul says it is wrong to speak evil against him. Why? Because he was an authority over the people. You see, and I told this last week, when COVID was coming on, the government has said, you cannot have church. You're to close your church services. And our governor, mayor, allowed us to do live stream. And I'm thinking, I don't care, governor, mayor, no one can tell me I can't have church. We have freedom of religion in this country. We're going to have to stand up for it. But as I was driving up to staff meeting that next Tuesday, coming over here for a staff meeting, the Lord spoke to me on the way. He said, I want you to submit to authority. Some preachers got in trouble because they wouldn't submit to authority. I want you to submit to authority, stream these services, put them on the radio, and you reach more people than you have been. And, boy, that has changed everything. Even my mother, Hope, she's watching right now. She got to join from Rome, Georgia, to be a part of these services. And she didn't know what a great preacher I was, but so it's only fair that she gets to hear me. I'm kidding, of course. But it did really expand the ministry in every way, but it had to begin with me submitting to authority. And I'm a part of this enemies of God, basically for one reason. I like for somebody to be looking over my shoulder. I like being under authority. Oh, I get so mad at them sometimes, I want to pull the ears off. It does me good to submit to authority. Am I telling them right, Linda? Right. 1 Peter 2, 17, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. That's pretty simple. Show proper respect to everyone. Let me know we need to show each other respect as born again believers. Love the brotherhood. Love your brothers and sisters. If you love your brothers and sisters, I think you should come to church every now and then and fellowship with them, spend some time with them. I think you need to show up next week at Johnny Telford's fundraiser and to fellowship for no other reason. If you don't want to help with the fundraiser, come and eat so you can fellowship with God's people, spend time with God's people. One of these days you're going to have a problem, need a prayer partner, and you're not going to know anybody to call. Make some friends with the brothers, can you say, and sisters. Love the brotherhood, the sisterhood. Fear God. Honor the king. This does, and how many know you honor the office? You don't necessarily always honor the person. That office is ordained to God. That's why David couldn't kill Saul. He knew that position was anointed of God, and he was a position of authority, and he knew also if he survived Saul, he was going to be king. And he wanted to honor that position of authority. See, this does not say show respect and honor the king only if he does what you want him to do. Show proper respect, fear God, and honor the king. That doesn't mean you agree with what they're doing. And in America, we have a responsibility to speak up and say that's wrong. Of course, as born-again believers, if it goes contrary to Scripture, we must stand up and say that's wrong. Amen. And sometimes people want to mix up morality with politics. So you got to leave that alone because it's political. No, just because you call something in the Bible says it's wrong, and you call it political, it's not going to shut me up. I'm going to speak about it anyway because that's not politics. That is the Word of God. It takes boldness. I had somebody the other day that had been listening to me on the radio, and he says, "Buddy, it's a wonder they hadn't killed you with things you're preaching." Anyway, some people just hate Jesus, hate the church, and hate anybody that takes a stand against immorality and ungodly stuff. I will not get involved in politics because politics is naming people and taking sides with personalities. God didn't call me to do that. He didn't call me to be a politician, but he called me to preach his word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And if you like it, good. If you don't like it, take it up with the guy that wrote it. Yeah. Wrote the book. So God requires submission to delegate authority in his church for a reason. Hebrews 13:17, a lot of people don't know this or get this. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. If they're godly people called by God, they are there to help you. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You see, the pastor is a watchman that must give an account to God for the job he does. That's one reason I have to obey God no matter what as a pastor. I have to preach the Word of God no matter what. If I'm not preaching the subjects and the matters you want me to preach on, that's okay because I'm preaching on the matters and the subjects that he wants me to preach on. And that's why I fast and pray so much, is I want to be sure when I walk out here, I've got the Word, I've got the message, because I'm going to give an account to God if I miss it. And giving account to God doesn't always mean it on Judgment Day. I mean, God didn't wait till Judgment Day to take care of Moses. He kicked him out. Amen. You see, the spiritual leaders are to feed and protect God's people. They have a purpose. But the work is made difficult when people will not listen and submit to that delegated authority. Pastor really has no authority to make you do anything. Absolutely nothing. But if he's hearing from God, you may want to pay attention. You see, God expects us to listen to our leaders and respect their authority so they can help us. And like I mentioned last week, my mother, we submitted to her authority. And why? Because she was keeping us out of trouble. She had 8 kids that she knew were potential criminals. Because she had married into bad blood. I had uncle been in prison. My dad was trafficking attempted murders, 15 years old. And boy, she disciplined us. I mean, she's all over us. And she kept every one of us out of jail. And today, they all of us worship the ground she walked on. Well, if you disobey kids, they're going to hate you. They didn't work that way with my mama. We know that she was doing it for our good because she loved us. God gave her that authority, and parents, God has given you an authority. And if you don't discipline kids, that's child abuse. Amen. According to the Word of God. God has given those in authority power and authority to lead us into the promised land. You see, Joshua did lead the Israelites into the promised land, but they had to listen to him and march around those walls until they fell down, until they did what God told them to do, march around the walls of Jericho once a day until the seventh day, then go around seven times, blow the trumpet, let out a shout, and the walls would fall down. That's the craziest battle plan I ever heard of in my life. But God said it. Joshua told the people, they did it, and the walls came down. They wouldn't have made it into the promised land without Joshua hearing from God. God uses people. Dottie trusts me. And, I mean, a lot of husbands want their wife to listen to everything they say. Well, do you have a history of really hearing from God and being right? I've said to Dottie a lot over the years, we need to do this. This is the will of God. Thus saith the Lord. And you guess what? Every time it's worked. If I missed it every other time, she wouldn't have any trust in me. And that's the reason the people in this church have such a trust in me, is because when I have said, thus saith the Lord, it's worked every time. I can't think of a time it didn't. And you say, well, you're bragging to yourself. No. I just try to hear from God. And God's good enough to be sure I do hear from God. Amen. So, husbands, if you want your wife to follow you, you gotta hear from God. You need to fast and pray and seek the voice of God. And when you say God wants us to buy a new car, you say, well, why is that important? Well, you buy the wrong car, you're going to find out why it's important. You hear from God. I go to buy a pair of shoes. I say, oh, God, help me get the right shoes. You say, well, how silly, praying for a pair of shoes. Well, I got the wrong pair of shoes when I was about 22, 3 years old, and I've been hurting all week because that corn is still driving me crazy at times. Because I bought the wrong pair of shoes. Amen. So God helped me to get the right pair of shoes. You think that's foolish? Then have a corn on every toe. That's your business. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders, the pastors, and when it says elders, New Testament means pastors. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Those who do a good job of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Why double honor? Because we must know the truth to be successful in life. You need to know the truth. You need to know that if you intend to be blessed in life, you have got to know this message. You submit to authority. We've had people in this church fired and have all kind of problems because they would not submit to authority. This is a real key to success. Respecting your, and then here again, if they ask you to do something immoral, ungodly, tell a lie, whatever, listen, you have to say, no, I can't do that. If you get fired for that, God's got a better job. You see, pastors who do well are worthy of double honor. What does that mean? Double pay. Let me read it. Here it goes, verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox. I don't like being called an ox, but if it gets me some money, that's okay. I'm blessed financially. I don't need a thing. Can you say amen? Amen. I know what I'm worth, so I'm not asking you for a favorite. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is thrashing, and the labor is worthy of his hire. As you know, people designate money to me, and what I don't need, I give back. And the board knows that. If you don't believe that, ask them. But what I take is probably more than I'm worth. But at the same time, people have really loved me and, and have taken care of me. Amen. Can you say amen? The pastor who does a good job is worthy of double pay. That's exactly what it means. It says plainly, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about myself. But there's other people in leadership that need to be blessed financially, and we need to do it. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder, against a pastor, without proof, is what it means. Do not receive an accusation against an elder, a pastor, except on the basis of two or three witnesses. I mean, the devil sent people to church sometimes deliberately to try to destroy the church. They know they can't destroy the church without destroying the pastor. So they start all these lies on the pastor. And that's where the congregation comes in. You got to ask them, now, how do you know that? Where's your proof? How many know that's the way it should be done? It's wrong to listen to an accusation without proof. We must ask, can you prove that? This requires witnesses. I need witnesses. You either give me some witnesses or shut up. Now, this applies not just to the pastor, but to every one of us. Amen. If I hear somebody saying something about one of you or some of you, I say, whoa, how do you know that? I have wound up over the years defending some of the people in this church, and I was defending one guy, and this woman got so mad at me, she turned on me and slandered me all over the whole church. And for years, I'd hear people say, she's still slandering you, because I stood up to her defending a person in this church, and I'll do it again, bless God. Amen. We defend each other. Amen. Amen. And if people start the gossip, we need to be bold enough. I don't care how meek and humble you think you are, you have an obligation before God to say, how do you know that? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Guard the flock. And he's talking to pastors, elders. They're on the seashore of Ephesus, I believe it was. He's telling him, guard the flock. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You're not just a pastor so you can brag about being a pastor. You're a pastor so you can watch over God's people and protect them, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Sometimes there's some crazy doctrines come by, and people swallow those things, and it destroys their lives. You got to have a man bold enough to get in the pulpit, or a woman get in the pulpit, and say, that is heresy. And teach the truth. The overseer is to watch over and protect the flock from wolves and demonic deception. It's difficult to do this when the sheep are rebellious and will not listen. You say amen. Many years ago, way before we was in this part of the building, there's about five people showed up, and they were from other churches, and they thought they were prophets. They would jump up in the middle of the service and they'd give some of these craziest messages. And they didn't say this, but it made people feel this way. If you don't repent, act right, I'm going to come down and knock your head off. And people left depressed, feeling bad. And some people came to me and said, Pastor, you got to do something about this. All of a sudden, they realized they had a pastor who had authority. I want to say, well, why don't you do it? But they say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do it. So I went down to the mountains, and I was praying, oh, God, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me and said, well, you let this mess get out of control. You allow them to get up and start doing all this crazy prophecy, so you go back and fix it. God told me that. And so I came back. We was in that part of the building over there, and had a little lip on it then. It came out into what is now the gym floor. We had to cut that off, of course, to play basketball and stuff in there. And so I walked out on that lip, and I said, listen, this church is out of order. We got people jumping up and doing prophecy, and and the Bible says that I'm supposed to judge it, and I haven't been judging it. But I said, the Bible says plainly the gifts are to edify and exhort and encourage the people. And if it's condemning people and putting people down, I'm going to judge it from now on. And the people jumped straight up, and I started looking for the door. There's a back door. It goes back into the kitchen. I was ready to leave. And they jumped up, and they started to, they gave me about a five-minute standing ovation because I finally stood up and acted like a pastor. And don't do that now. I'm good. But that's the kind of authority a pastor has. And a lot of people so-called pastor, too cowardly to do that. You've got to take care of God's people. And people were begging me to do something, and I finally did it. Verse 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, from your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the other disciples after them. Even people, he says, even people in the church are going to rise up and do some bad things. Verse 31, therefore, be on the alert, be on God, watching, be on guard, watching over God's people, protect them from crazy people and crazy doctrines. What does a shepherd do? Watch over, protect, and provide for the flock. The man of God is there to protect us from wolves and tares and demonized people and to equip us for success. And we've had a lot of demonized people come through here, and man, Jesus took care of it, and people in church didn't even know it was a problem. But that's our job. And Alice says, it matters where you go to church. It does. It does. I don't know if I should even tell this or not, but way years ago, and we're still over there, and this guy came into church. And I was back in the education wing, this right before church started, and somebody said, these men in church is really attacking our ladies. I said, what? And I come flying in, and he was literally verbally attacking the ladies in the church. I said, sir, is there a problem? And he said, yes, these ladies are harlots. I said, what? And he said, they shave their legs. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, get out. And he's still looking at me. And I walked over there. I slung the door open. You could hear it crack all over the building. I said, get out. Now. And he said, what was you going to do? I was going to take him out. That's my job. Well, what about turn the other cheek? Turn the other cheek means you don't seek revenge. I'm not going to come and slap you just because you slapped me. But that doesn't keep me from protecting myself from threats and protecting you from threats. I'll do whatever I need to do, and I've proven that over the years. And what really helped me, David Blair. Where's David? Anyway, I'd glance back, and he was getting ready to sing. He came off of that platform. He was taking his coat off. All of a sudden, I got bold. I said, now get out of here. And he stood up straight. Looked at me. You just threw Jesus out of your church and walked out. There's been times I really had to put myself in harm's way, and I'm glad to do it. That guy was bigger than me. He could have squashed me like a bug, but I began to feel like David going against Goliath. God is going to help me. Amen. You don't have to jump up and give me a standing. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm sure not perfect. Sometimes I'm a nut, but I'm trying my best to hear from God. And I'm not doing my best right now because I'm telling all these stories and I'm running out of time. You see, we are to submit to proven leaders that are following the Lord and help them get the job done. A guy needs to prove himself. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He says, follow me. I mentioned that last week. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. As we saw last week, that really is the only really Bible example of leadership. God calls men like Moses, Joshua, and Paul, and calls people to follow them as long as they follow the Lord. No one should follow anyone blindly. Number one, you need to let them prove themselves that they really do hear from God, and then pray until you hear from God yourself. We can pray and hear from God ourselves. God only has one will, and the leaders and the people must pray until they hear from God. Then they'll walk in step doing the same thing, going together. And that's been the policy of this church from day one. The pastor prays, the board prays, we hear from God, the people pray, we hear from God, and we all walk in the same direction. Why? God doesn't have two or three wheels about a thing. He's got a wheel for each thing. The children of Israel would not have made it into the promised land without Joshua. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish and instruct you," is what it means, instruct you or teach you, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We need to know our leaders and know their hearts. When you really know the leader, when somebody starts spouting out lies, you already know it's a lie because you know them. And you need to spend a lot of time getting to know the leaders in this church, not just me. We got some fantastic people here. We are to esteem them and highly, esteem them highly, and even protect them from ungodly lies and attacks. Like I said, somebody says something. How do you know that? Prove it. And we are to have peace among ourselves. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." There is no democracy in the Old or New Testament, but theocracy. Jesus is the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. And we are to take our orders from Jesus Christ. That's why you need leadership that pray, fast, hear from God. And then if you're doing your part, you're fasting and praying, and you can hear from God too. And when they say, "Thus saith the Lord," you know if it is or not. Amen. And that's what Paul says. "Follow me as I follow the Lord." How are you going to know if it's following the Lord? You got to follow the Lord yourself. Amen. And pray until you hear from God. And then in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, "As the Lord commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it." You see, God commanded Moses. Moses commanded Joshua. And Joshua was over the army and other things. And so when he commanded the army, he is commanding them to do what God told Moses, what Moses told him. Delegated authority. And that's the way it still works. In politics, in church, no matter where the authority comes from, God, just like Jesus said, "You would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given to you." Amen. God calls a man and calls others to follow him. As long as he follows the Lord, we don't follow anybody blindly. That's why I say, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, too bad. It's got to line up with the Word of God, number one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, "For the elders are the pastors among you," he says, "be shepherds of God's flock, that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing to protect God's people and to teach them the truth so they'll be successful at work. As God wants you to be, he wants you to be good overseers, not greedy for money." Amen. Some pastors are greedy for money. And we've had some evangelist people come through here. You can tell they all about money, money, money. And want to take an offering for an hour. Well, maybe God told them to do that, but he hadn't told me to do anything like that. He tells me to present a need, and if you give, you give. If you don't, you don't. And they're not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, and being examples to the flock. You live a life of an example of hearing from God. That's one reason I want to make sure I hear from God. I want you to know it's possible to hear from God. Also, example of healing. The devil texts me with sickness. I think I need to model healing for you by getting healed and letting you know God heals. Amen. Just like at the end of the fast, the devil tried to make me sick, and I just sat down on the floor and I prayed to God, heal me, and I came to church and preached. You got to model the Word of God and victory and the power of God. You model it by living it. And please don't think I'm imperfect, because you'll see me do something and say, "Well, he's not perfect." Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not perfect, but I can hear from God and you can hear from God even though you're not perfect. And when the chief shepherd appears, let me know that the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away, not as a lord, but as a shepherd. Pastors cannot make people do anything. Amen. We can't make you do the word. We can't make you pray. We can't make you tithe or do anything. You say amen. But we as pastors can preach the word, and you can decide to obey the word of the Lord or disobey the word of the Lord. But that's the way it needs to be. It needs to be obeying the word of God and not something some guy says. But we can and will do what God tells us to do, and that should be the goal of every one of us, to hear what the head guy is saying and do it. The head guy, the chief shepherd, is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, with whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. That's the model of Jesus Christ. Just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, and sometimes serving God and blessing God's people may cost you your life. But you got to do it. I was called to the house of someone one night years, this is many years ago too. And this guy came in on drugs, and it was his brother. And he attacked the head of the house, and his wife was scared to death. And when I got there, there's blood all over the house. And as soon as I walked in, he grabbed me by my collar and began to twist it, got right in my face. And I started talking to him, speaking scripture to him. Finally got my arm around him, started praying. The power of God hit both of us, and he sobered up completely in an instant. And this guy had called some other people from this church to come over because this was a really violent, dangerous situation. And they're all standing there, and they watched it. This man was totally sobered up by the power of God in a second. And he calmed down and prayed the sinner's prayer with him. Oh, I mean, sometimes you're putting your life at risk and don't even know it. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There are no big shots. We're all servants. Let me hear a big amen. Amen. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Well, I want to be a leader. I want to do that. Why? To serve? That's a good motive. All good leaders are servants. Please stand.